Well, we've been dealing with faith, and looks like we're going to be dealing with faith for a lot longer. Start back with the verses that we've been hanging on to here. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we have 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I think as we look around in the world today, those words become more and more important. We don't walk by what we see, we walk by faith. Because as I'm going to read through some of these things tonight, you're going to see that we're not alone. There are other men and women that have lived through these things. And they had to walk by faith, not by sight. So I'm going to start, I'm backtracking on you. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11:4. And Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. All right, I wrote a upper division college dissertation on this very subject. My teacher was a Taoist. He did not appreciate my references, but I did pass the class. But let's go back to what the story is. I'm going to go back to Genesis 4, verses 2 through 8. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel, his brother. And it came about, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Cain was the firstborn of Adam and Eve. And, you know, these things, you just kind of let these things pass by. But Cain was the firstborn. He was the heir, according to the custom. All right? And how can it be according to the custom? I don't know, but... All right. Cain was the firstborn, and the custom began that the firstborn received the inheritance. Cain brought the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Why didn't the Lord have regard for Cain's offering? And I had to go quite a few places to find this, but Cain's offering was a ritualistic offering to him. The Lord looked into Cain's heart and knew that Cain was more dependent upon himself than upon God. Has to do with humility. Has to do with, why are you giving an offering? Why are you serving? So Abel's offering was different from Cain's, because Cain took the first, you know, the fruit of the ground that he had, and he brought it, and the Lord probably consumed it. But he had no regard for it, because Cain's heart was not behind it. The Lord looked into Cain's heart and saw that he was taking care of himself, and that he didn't see a heart that sought after him and trusted in him. Now Abel offered up the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. This means that he offered up the best part of the tenderest lambs to the Lord. Abel's offering was a sin offering, offered to the Lord in faith and in humbleness. The word says that the Lord had regard for Abel's offering. I looked up the Hebrew word for offering, or for regard, and it says that the Lord inspected, he regarded, and he respected Abel's offering. The words in Hebrews 11:4 state that by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. So the issue here was faith. By faith, Abel's offering was better than Cain's. And that's why God had regard for it. Going through the rituals and acknowledging that God is God is not enough. It must be accompanied by faith in order for the Lord to regard it. What a lesson to be learned. Just doing what we're supposed to is not enough. We must have faith for it to have any meaning to the Lord. Now think about the things you do in your daily lives. Think about why you're helping somebody or why you're doing things. Are you doing it with faith in the Lord? Are you doing it because that's the way things are done and we got to keep up appearances? We got to do these things right? Because that's not enough. The Lord says, is our faith accompanied with those acts that he regards? Through our faith, the Lord acknowledges our sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, and thereby acknowledges our righteousness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on in Hebrews 11:5 and 6. These are stories we've all read and heard. Hebrews 11:5 and 6. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up he was pleasing to God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Excuse me. Now let's review briefly here the life of Enoch. And I take you to Genesis 5, verses 18 to 24. And Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. All right. This is a different story, isn't it? All right, this is a real different story. So I tried to find out how much we know about Enoch. And we don't know much about Enoch, but we do know that God loved him and was very pleased with him. We know that God took him in the prime of his life. Realize that? 365 years. It was the prime of his life, since the normal lifespan then is 700 to 800 years. So understand, 365 years, we go, whoa! But this is not even a middle-aged man, according to the lifespans. So Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And the word walked in Hebrew has many, many meanings. Suffice it to say that Enoch spent 300 years with the sole purpose of the joy of walking with God. 300 years. We struggle with a day. He walked with God for 300 years. And he pleased God so much that God took him to heaven without him dying. Trying to please him, Enoch tried to please God every moment of every day just for the good pleasure of being with him in his presence. We know that there must have been prophecy passed down from Enoch since we have some scriptures. And the scriptures I take you to now are Jude chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And about these also, Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, this is Enoch, seventh generation in the world. Okay? Seventh generation in the world. And he gives a prophecy about what the Lord's going to do. And I don't think there's too much doubt as to what the Lord intends to do here. Enoch's example to us is to take pleasure in every moment of every day to be able to walk with our God. We get to walk with God every day. Jesus did that for us. Jesus did that for us. So we should be taking pleasure in every moment of every day because we get to walk with God. God took Enoch up into heaven because Enoch had no interest in the world. His only interest was being with God. We find another example of this. Enoch wasn't alone in this miracle that happened here. With the prophet Elijah, he was taken up to heaven after all the work that he had done for the Lord. And this was Elijah with all the stuff that happened between King Ahab and Jezebel, and just, I mean, all the stuff that Elijah had to put up with, and his faith that he went through all this stuff. And then the last thing he did before he was taken up was the training of Elisha, which was a prophet who would carry on for him in the Lord's work. And I'll take you to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Then it came about as they were going along and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses, which separated the two of them. Elisha and Elijah were walking together, and Elisha would not leave Elijah's side. He would not let him alone. He wouldn't go away. So a fiery chariot pulled by horses comes down from heaven and, you know, kind of separates them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Enoch and Elijah are a glimpse of heaven for mankind. They were both taken up to heaven, and they both will return. And they'll return as the two witnesses spoken of in the Word. Revelations 11, verses 3 through 6. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. What does this have to do with faith? These two men were definitely great men of faith. The Lord had His purpose in mind for these men from before the creation of the world. It was their faith that made them able to please God. These are the words that were given in Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And I'm going on through all these examples we have in Hebrews 11 for a reason. There's a place we want to get to here. Because I've read these before and said, yeah, I know the story. Yeah, I know the story. All right, but when we get to Hebrews 11:11, and it says these men all died in faith, I want you to know who we're talking about, who these men are, and what they accomplished, and what the Lord's purpose was in their life. You know, note here that acknowledgement that God is not enough. We must have faith that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And the Hebrew word for seek means to search out, to investigate, to crave, to demand, worship, inquire, seek after carefully and diligently. That's what it means to seek our God. We are to seek our God and His purpose for our lives. Just like Enoch and Elijah, we must diligently make our lives a constant joy by walking with our God. Our faith in God will lead to our walk with God, a walk that brings joy and satisfaction for our souls. Are you feeling down? Are things just too big for you? Are you overwhelmed? Are you depressed? Take your faith and have a walk with God. That's where you're going to find your pleasure, in walking with the Lord. Going on, Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Note the term here that's used is righteousness. The law had not been given yet. The measure of righteousness that's being referred to in these scriptures is the righteousness that is going to come to him through Jesus Christ, and is Noah's faith that God will fulfill the promise of a Savior that makes him righteous. I take you to Genesis 6:9. These are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. That's what the word says. Blameless in his time, Noah walked with God. Wow. Again, here's that term, walking with God. And it says Noah was blameless and righteous. Okay, the law wasn't given. So the measure was your faith. Take you to Ezekiel 14:14. Even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God. Ezekiel 14:20. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. That's a verse speaking about you can only save yourself. You can't save somebody else. You can only save yourself. Because we all have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. We all have to have our own faith in the Lord. And then finally, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah believed in things not yet seen, because he had faith in his God. I want you to picture Noah building an ark. It didn't happen over a weekend. It wasn't a weekend project. It was a project that probably took years. And Noah's faith in the Lord. He's looking around the world, and the world's just going on. Evil's everywhere, and what's Noah doing? He's building an ark. You want to talk about faith in things not seen. Because now Noah faces the ridicule of the world. Look, there's crazy Noah. He's building that thing. He says that the Lord's going to flood the entire world. Ha ha. But Noah, because of his faith, continues to build the ark. Now, mind you, the entire world had an opportunity to believe this man of righteousness and to save themselves by turning to God. The world chose what? To continue in ungodliness. No one else, and this is the thing that got to me here, no one else of faith existed at the time Noah sealed the ark. He had the only people who still had faith in the Lord God, in the entire world. So that's down to pretty slim pickings. Methuselah had just died. Times have not changed. We live in a world that is still just as evil as the world Noah lived in. God promised not to flood the world again, but his judgment and his wrath are on its way for those who have cursed him and denied him. So in this world, don't worry about justice. Don't worry about fairness. We have one person, one being that we need to satisfy, and that is the Lord God Almighty. And anything anybody else does to us, even though it hurts us in the flesh, that is really of no concern to us. The concern is walking with the Lord. The concern is, what does the Lord want done in this situation? Why is this happening, Lord? What do you want me to do? Not, why is this happening, Lord? Please make it stop. We want the Lord's will to be done. And we learn from the scriptures before us today the following. Going through the rituals and acknowledging that God is God is not enough. It must be accompanied by faith in order for the Lord to regard it. Second, you are to take pleasure in every moment of every day because we are able to walk with our God. Third is our faith that makes us able to please God. Have you thought about that? That we're able to please God. All right? That's as far beyond me as God loving me. The thought that we can please God Almighty. And we please Him through our faith. Then we are to seek our God and seek His purposes for our lives. And then, the verses that we've been studying all along for the last several times together, we are to believe in things not yet seen because of our faith. And then I'll close with a reading from Habakkuk 2, verses 3 and 4. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Amen.